We're going to talk about an aspect of communion. So what I'd like you to do is to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at some things. And I want you to keep your finger on 1 Peter chapter 2, because you really can't understand 1 Peter chapter 2 fully unless you're a student of God's Word. Remember that when 1 Peter was written, they didn't have the whole New Testament. You remember that? And they had the Old Testament. Do you remember that? So their Bible was the Old Testament. So when you brought your Bible to church, you didn't bring your New Testament at first, because it took the first century to get all those letters put into one book. And they had the Old Testament. So they all brought their Old Testament. And they knew the Old Testament. So what we have to do to understand Peter is to remember that you got to be a student of what was said in the Bible at the time. So for you to understand what Peter's going to talk about and what Jesus talked about, we got to look at the Old Testament, because that was their Bible for the first century. Now we're under the New Covenant, but the New Covenant had a lot of the prediction force for it in the Old. So turn to understand this to the book of Daniel. When's the last time you read the book of Daniel? Anybody? Yesterday. Did Carolyn Fisher say that? I'm glad she read it yesterday. What chapter did you read? Oh, I'm sorry. You should have read chapter 2. Did you read chapter 9 the day before? And the 8 the day before? Don't even remember. Well, remember, it's not what preachers say about the Bible. It's what the Bible says about itself. The only thing a preacher can do is tell you what the Bible says. Otherwise, he has no authority. So let's go to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, a madman, and he was a madman, had a dream. And he dreamed about the course of world history and how there would be four big, huge governments in world history. And this dream was telling Nebuchadnezzar and us about world history. And he sees a big statue. Do you remember this when you were little kids? They'd do the story of Daniel and they'd have this big golden statue there. And all you remember is the statue, and you don't remember the purpose that God had to tell. God is saying that in world history there's going to be four super governments. And they depicted this unified statue with a head of gold, a chest and arms of silver, a belly of bronze, and feet and legs of iron. Although in the feet there's going to be iron mixed with clay, whatever that means. Remember that? Come on now, dust off, okay? Well, the purpose is not for you to see just a gold statue and all of this and a statue. It isn't that clever. God was telling Nebuchadnezzar, but he was really telling us, there's going to be four world governments. that are going to happen in history before Messiah comes. And to make a long story short, here is what we think are these great world governments. The head of gold was Babylon, and Babylonia in the known world was the biggest, most advanced. And then the arms and chest of silver was Persia, which is the modern Iranians, were at one time the world government. And then brass was Greece. And then most theologians that are Bible students think that the legs and feet of iron are the Roman government. Now some of you would say, well, Rome ceased. No, it did not. The Roman government outwardly ceased, but its heritage continues today in Western Europe and America. All of our law, even our money, e pluribus unum. Where do you think we got the word commander-in-chief from? Where do you think we got the Senate idea from? Rome had a commander-in-chief. Rome had a Senate. Where do you think we got our Congress from? They had in Rome a plebiscite, a group of commoners. Our whole government in America is built off of that model of Rome. Rome never stopped. So what it's implying is that there's going to be this long extended period of Roman government, even if Rome, as you think, in Italy. But the Pope, do you know who took over the Roman government when the Roman government outwardly fell in the West was the Pope. The Pope took over the Roman government. It never stopped. It just took a different form. And it said in Daniel that this is going to continue. And then I want you to notice something, that the Roman government, which is still here today, is going to continue. And it's going to take, in verse 41 of Daniel chapter 2, that this fourth kingdom, let's go to verse 40. This fourth kingdom, there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron. And by the way, guess who was responsible for the proliferation of iron in their military warfare? Guess who it was? The Romans. Inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, it will crush and break all these into pieces. So Rome was a world government that continues today, that crushed and will continue to crush every government. By the way, you are the Romans, whether you like it or not. Now look at verse 41. Say, how does this have to do with communion, Pastor Dave? You've lost your ever-loving mind. No, I haven't. And in that, you saw the feet and toes. And it says this statue is going to have iron toes mixed with clay. And there's going to be these 10 toes. And that's why most Bible people think that in the final form of Rome, there's going to be 10 something. And guess what they've discovered? In the writing of the elites, this is going to weird you out, in the financial centers who are really in charge of this world, your politicians aren't in charge. The financial system is in charge behind the scenes. They envision for the world 10 economic regions of the world. Canada, United States, and Mexico is one, South America another, Western Europe another, and they've actually had people see the plans and showed the plans of 10 economic regions in a one world government of Rome. How do you like that? Now look what happens when this happens, because by the way, that's where they're going. You wonder why everybody's flooding everywhere is so that they can set up these 10 economic regions. And look what it says. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron, verse 42, and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and some of it will be brittle. And if you've ever seen, that's what we have today in government. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another. You ever seen a democracy? They can't agree on anything. Now look at this in verse 44. Which is the background for you to understand. And in the day of those kings, those whoever controls those economic regions, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. What did we learn today in our Bible study about the Lord's Prayer? What did Jesus pray? All right, it's not here, but God's going to set it up. Which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms. Now, so here, God's kingdom is going to come in, and it's going to crush these 10 regions of this Roman government that's still in force, and watch what it says. Verse 45 is key. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, so all of a sudden in this vision of a statue, suddenly a stone appears out of nowhere. A stone. Not a boulder. A what? A stone. You know, this is a boulder. This is a stone. So this little pebble comes out. Insignificant, right? And that it crushed, this little pebble crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver. The great God has made known to you, the king, what will take place in the true. And it said in his dream, if you look here, and I don't have time, we could go into this, that stone took that statue, and this little stone took it, this huge statue, 100 feet tall or more, that little stone beat that big statue of world governments into fine dust and scattered it. So the point is, there's going to be this huge history of human government. At the end of it, there's going to be 10 somethings. And then out of nowhere, there's going to be this little stone that's suddenly going to come out of nowhere. And this little pebble's going to go bang on that statue. And guess what the statue's going to do? Crumble into dust. Do you get that picture? Look what it says in his dream. Had a dream. And Daniel told him what the dream was. Let me go to the crushing of that stone. Verse 34 of Daniel 2, just so you know, you continued looking, this is Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar's dream, until a stone was cut out without hands and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. How many are in the iron and clay? How many? 10. So whatever's going to happen in the last world government, there's going to be 10 somethings. I believe it's these 10. Because the financial institutions of this world are controlled by Lucifer, whether you like that or not, it's the truth. Jesus is going to take and just pulverize this whole thing. Now, that brings us right up to where we need to be. You need to be students of the Old Testament to understand the New. Because in 1 Peter 2, we go. 1 Peter 2... starting with verse 4. And you have come to him. Who's him? Jesus. As to a living what? Living what? Now you understand how the early church saw Jesus. They knew that Jesus was the stone of Daniel chapter 2. And that Jesus, in somehow the true Messiah, was the living stone that was going to do what to that statue of world government that's here right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's here right now. They're dividing up the world into 10 regions of trade and commerce. Have you ever read Revelation 17 and 18 where the ships and the merchants of the world weep because Babylon has fallen in one day? If that ain't an economic political system, I don't know what is there. Jesus is the stone. Now watch what it says. You've come to the stone of Daniel chapter 2. A living stone rejected by men. Well, who rejected Jesus? The nation of Israel. Rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also as living stones. That tells you one thing. Christian, if you follow Jesus, you're on the right side. You are part of Him. You are living stones. Are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. He's not talking about Israel, ladies and gentlemen. They rejected Jesus. He's talking about you, the church. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus the Messiah. What are your spiritual sacrifices to offer? No more cattle, no more goats. You're offering the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of doing good. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I will lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. He's quoting what the prophet Isaiah talked about. Who's the stone? Now you know. Jesus. And he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? It says you will never be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, now watch this, who do not trust Jesus as Savior, the stone which the builders rejected. Well, who are the builders? Israel that rejected their Messiah. The builders, I've told you why. They wanted a Messiah that would do what? Kill them all. And what did Jesus want to do? Save them all. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Well, guess what? That's why Jesus said, whoever doesn't become offended in me, because he knows that he would be an offense, because Jesus was not going to be the kind of Messiah that killed, but what? Saved. That's why you're here this morning. For they stumble because they, who's they? The builders, the nation of Israel, are disobedient to the word. Do you know what the porn capital and the gay capital of the world is? Look this up in Google. Do you know who it is? Israel, Tel Aviv. Am I anti-Semitic? No. I'm just telling you the truth. And to this doom, they were what? Appointed. But you, now I want you to watch this, because this is what happened when Jesus said it is finished and the nation rejected him. God made a promise to those who believe in him. But you, now watch this phraseology, but you are a chosen race. Who's the you here, beloved? The church. Those who believe in Jesus. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Every one of those terms were terms applied to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. I want somebody to read this morning. Who will read for me Deuteronomy 10:15? Who's got the courage in front of everybody to read Deuteronomy 10:15? Who's got it?
The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them,
Somebody read for me Isaiah 43, 20 and 21. Isaiah 43, 20 and 21. Who's got it? Isaiah 43, 20 and 21. There it is. All of those terms are applied, thank you, Willie, to the church in light of what Jesus did. Somebody read for me Isaiah 61:6. And Willie, it looks like it's you. Isaiah 61:6. Now, we could go through every one of those terms that were applied in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel, and now it's applied to the church, consisting of, what does the church consist of? Jews and Gentiles who believe in whom? Whom? And Jesus is the what? Stone. And what does the stone do? And what will he crush? The evil world system that is coming of 10-somethings. And that's why the early church, both Jew and Gentile, had one prayer. One prayer and one prayer only when they would meet. Do you know what that prayer was in Aramaic? Because the early church spoke Aramaic at first. Do you know what that prayer was? Maranatha. You know what that means in Maranatha? Means in Aramaic, Lord Yeshua, come quickly. So what are you this morning? If you know Jesus Christ, what are you? You are a chosen race. Wait, some of us don't look like you have, some have more melanin than this white honky cracker. Doesn't matter. It's not race in the new covenant. It's your trust in Jesus. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Ladies, in the millennial kingdom, you can be in ministry. And then you'll say with Pastor Dave, I don't think I want to do this anymore. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So guess who's chosen in the new covenant? Come on. Those who follow the stumbling stone, the rock. That's what we're celebrating this morning. That Jesus Christ has turned you into a chosen nation, a royal priest, a people for God's own possession. And don't you forget what Jesus Christ did for you as we celebrate communion.